Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Jim Potts back on the air. Good evening, and as always, thank you so much for sharing your Sunday evening slash afternoon with me. I really do appreciate the fact that you do listen to me. So always, thank you so much. Well, you know, there's a lot that we have to talk about today. I started out by saying, for those of you that get my email blast, I start out by talking about, what the intent is on Sunday. But we had so much on the news this week, so there might be some variation here. But basically, is what I wanted to talk about was the psychology of serial killers. That's a big issue, and there's some things that came out as a result of that. And in addition to that, I want to talk about the impact of domestic terrorism by these serial killers, because I think that's very important to understand as well. And then we'll point out some other things, but I'm going to start out by first something on a personal note. I want to send a shout out to the Daniels family. The Daniels family is on my mother's side. Today is the anniversary of when my mother's family was released from slavery, and we have an actual document from 1785, if you can believe that. From 1785 today, my mother's family, the Daniels family, was released from slavery. It's incredible because a lot of people don't have that kind of documentation, but we have it as a family. So just wanted to send a shout out to the Daniels family. Okay, with that in mind, let's get busy with the normal course of business. And as always, if you in fact want to call in, you can call in to 818-602-4929. Again, if you want to call in because you have a question or a comment, give me a call, 818-602-4929. Or you can send me an email, as some people do, at listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. Again, that's listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. And if you want to get my blogs or email blast about the upcoming show topics, just text Potts Associates, and text that to 22828. Enter your email address, and then that will that'll get you on that email blast list. I'll be repeating that again later to give you a chance to get a pen and pencil together. And before I forget, one of my buddies mentioned something about, have I ever asked any of my listeners any topics they would like to hear on any of the upcoming shows? So if any of you out there have any topics that you would particularly like me to address, I have no issue with that at all. Just send an email to me, and we'll look into that, all right? Just keep in mind, I try my best to stay away from the politics, so I'm not talking about that. So let's keep it focused on the basic topics of the show that surrounds domestic terrorism, okay? All right, let's keep going. My first email, Jim, I assume, because of the way you keep up with the news, that you heard about the prisoner in Texas who says he killed 90 women. As a woman, this scares me and makes me want to stay home and lock the doors. What can women do to protect themselves more? Any tips would be appreciated. And that's from Amy out of San Diego. Now, I don't know if the general audience here has heard about this individual, but it was out of Texas. There's a 70-year-old man who's in prison down there for murder. And now all of a sudden, after he's been in jail all this time, he has confessed to 90 killings all over the country, and even provided authorities with portraits of some of these victims. Now, I guess he has a photographic memory or something to that extent, and he's been drawing these pictures of these women. His name was Samuel Little. Now, the reason why he agreed to this, apparently, Amy, was because of the fact that he wanted a deal to move to another prison, I guess. So now he's working with the FBI. The FBI is working with the Department of Justice and with the Texas Rangers all over the country to match his confessions with the evidence. Now, this is a shame, and I fully agree with that somebody like this has been out there Now, to me, he would be the true definition of a serial killer, but nobody knew about him. This is amazing. And now, he did get caught, but when he got caught, he actually confessed to having killed two other women in Mississippi and Florida. But he ended up escaping indictment in Mississippi and convicted in Florida. So apparently he still served time in prison for assaulting a woman in Missouri, and then for assault and false imprisonment of a woman in San Diego, California. So this guy had a true history, no doubt about that, and should have probably been a person of interest a long time ago. And now he's 78 years old. He's in prison, and now he wants to give up this information because I guess at this point in his life, what difference does it make? Don't know. But that's about where it amounts to. And I know even LAPD, Los Angeles Police Department, has now got a DNA match from him to three victims with unsolved murders that happened in California and Los Angeles from 1987 to 1989. So now he's been charged with those three counts of murder. But again, he's 78 years old. He's in prison already. Can't make it any worse. And if he does get convicted here, he could get the death penalty here. But, you know, the appeal process is so long, forget about it. He probably won't outlive the process. He'll probably, not outlive the process. Now, Amy, more specifically, you asked, what can women do? Well, look, Amy, one thing I always say is use common sense for sure. I try to get women to understand when we're doing some of our training, don't put yourselves in situations that could create a situation where somebody can drag you away someplace. So put some common sense with it. And you have to start thinking that way now. There's some other things that are out there now. Pepper sprays are out there. They have stun guns that you can legally buy. Some women make sure they always carry keys, like multiple keys, and you put the keys, each single key, in between your fingers, so like you would make a fist, and you'd hold the keychain in the palm of your hand, and then in between each finger, you have a key. So you end up, when you're making a fist, you end up with these keys protruding, three or four keys protruding from your fist. That's something that you can do as well. They also have something out there that I'm very impressed by. It's called a Ruger three-way ultra system. Now, this Ruger three-way, this is not a gun. All right, it's not a gun. This particular Ruger three-way ultra system shoots spray like a mace. It shoots it up to 15 feet. Now, that's pretty doggone good. It also has a 0.125 decimal alarm that goes off, that you can press, it goes off, that'll draw attention to the situation. And in addition to that, it also has a strobe light as well. So there are things out there that you can Google and be able to carry with you that are not necessarily lethal, but there are things that could draw attention to your particular situation, or at least ward off a person because they're not going to want to deal with that sound. Trust me, anything that has to do with sound, lights, things of that nature that draws attention to the situation, they're not going to be happy with. So that's just a few things. Now, they also have stun gun blasts that are like brass knuckles. So if you remember what brass knuckles are, it kind of works the same way. So your fingers slip into it, and you make a fist, and when you hit the individual, believe it or not, this stun gun blast knuckles, it's got 950,000 volts. And this is a great tool for ladies when they're out there jogging. If you remember right, a few months ago, the lady that got killed while she was out there jogging, she was a student. Now, this particular thing, you just put it in your hand, you slip your fingers through it like a set of brass knuckles, and you just go ahead and jog. And if somebody tries to accost you, all you got to do is hit them with it. And I'm telling you, they're going to feel it. So there are things out there, okay? All right. And from time to time on the show, I will be giving some other tips for the ladies as well. And I'll be talking about these serial killers because, you know, in a moment or two, because the reality is that most serial killers, just like this Texas individual, who do they go after? They go after the women. We'll talk more about that. Okay, let's move on to the next email. Jim, another active shooter in the workplace. We took your program at our company, and when we saw this last incident on the news, we high-fived each other because we feel that we are prepared for any such event. I just wanted to say thanks and keep up the good work. Tom, Bakersfield, California. Yeah, the incident that he's talking about, I got a second email on that same thing, and that's the email out of Chicago. Excuse me, the shooting out of Chicago. And basically, I'm sure that many of you have heard about that right now, which leads into my third email. So I'll just go ahead and read that. Jim, I am an HR professional, and I've always been concerned about terminating employees. And now with the shooting in Illinois, I'm terrified to fire anyone now. Any words? Michelle, Seattle, Washington. And I will address that, I promise. But it's what I want to do, because some of the listeners don't always listen to the news and hear about what's going on. Different stations carry different things. So from that perspective, let's talk about that. What they're talking about here is in Aurora. It's in Chicago. And apparently there was a man who gunned down five co-workers and wounded approximately five police officers as well. Now, as what happened with that, he apparently reported to a meeting that he thought was going to be held for the purpose of firing him, which he was accurate on that. Now, let me just pause there for a moment. But those of you that are either managers and supervisors, HR people, business owners, don't in any way tip somebody that you're going to be letting them go. I don't know that they did this for a fact, but look, you have to keep mum's the word. I mean, we have clients that call us and talk to us about these things, and they'll tell us that, oh, yeah, they didn't come in today because somehow or another we think they found out that we were going to be terminated, that they were going to be terminated, and now they called in with a doctor's note or something, and now they're out on a medical leave of absence. Look, you got to keep this tight perimeters here so that you don't let that kind of information out. You know, we get calls sometimes where the client wants to give an employee a week's notice or 2 weeks' notice that they're going to be terminated. Don't do that, all right? Simply just don't do that. Now, in this particular case, his name was Gary Martin. He brought his gun to the meeting, and this was, you know, at a warehouse. And because he likely knew that he might be, you know, there to lose his job, now, he had held this job for 15 years. So obviously he was not going to be a happy camper in terms of the fact that if he was going to be losing a job that he worked at for 15 years. Now, they don't know what had been conveyed to him or why he was being fired. But I can tell you that he showed up for his regular shift. They called him in. And as soon as he got into the meeting, he shot and killed the people that were in the meeting. The HR person got killed. And they had a 21-year-old intern that was getting ready to get his degree for human resource management in May. He was there. He gets killed, and the plant manager got killed. You know, those three people right away. And then outside of that room, they killed a stock clerk and another individual as well. And then basically he retreated to the far end of the warehouse and waited for the police officers to come. And when the police officers got there, he got in a shootout with them and wounded five of them. Now, I feel that the good news is at least that he was apprehended. So here's an individual that's getting ready to pay for his crimes at some point. But again, it's alleged. You can't say that he's guilty yet because he's entitled to his defense. Who knows what that's going to be? You know, some insanity defense of something. Who knows? Now, I will tell you that the mayor of Aurora, I will quote what he said, and I want to respond to this. He said, "For so many years, we have seen similar situations throughout our nation and the horrible feeling that we get when we see it on the news. To experience it firsthand, it is more painful." This is what he said. And another quote here. "In Aurora, we never thought anything like this would happen." Look, for those of you that are regular listeners, or even for those who aren't, how many times have you heard me say, don't ever think it can't happen to you? The reality is it can happen. Now, the sad part is that because that turns in, that's considered a mass shooting, because remember what I said before, mass shootings are anything more than three people getting wounded or killed. And in this particular case, we've got 10. At this point. Now, think about something else. Over the last 12 months, how many mass shootings have we had? I bet you don't even know. So let me tell you, and this is why I say we have to keep up with this. First of all, let's start with last February, a year ago, this Valentine's Day. Do you guys remember what anniversary that marks? Well, let me just tell you, it marks Parkland, Florida, the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting. Remember that? Believe it or not, that was a year ago. In the last 12 months, we've had 8 mass shootings. The last 12, that's almost one a month. Parkland, Florida, February 14th, 2018. 17 people killed, 17 people wounded. Let's keep going. Tennessee, April 22nd, 2018. The Waffle House, 4 people killed, 4 people wounded. May 18th, Texas, Santa Fe High School, 10 people killed, 13 wounded. Washington, D.C., you guys, I bet you don't remember this. June 28th, the Capitol shooting, 5 killed plus 2 wounded. October 27th, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, remember that? The synagogue, 11 people killed, 6 people wounded. Thousand Oaks, California, November 7th, 2018, the Borderline Bar and Grill, 12 people killed, 18 people wounded. Florida, January 23rd of this year, SunTrust Bank, 5 people killed. And now we have the shooting in Aurora, Illinois. Look, we're living in difficult times with all of this. And you'll hear me say it again. We keep forgetting about these things. There's 8 just in the last 12 months that I'll bet you weren't even thinking about. And this is my point once again. We can't let go of this. We have to understand it can happen to us. We've got to stay on guard with these things, and we have to start putting our defensive mechanisms in place. We're getting calls from people and businesses to come in and do the site assessments. We go in and we're doing the site assessments. We're writing the workplace security plans. We're talking to HR people who are very concerned. And then, of course, we're doing the active shooter training as well. This is a necessary item. You know, you have to understand that you have to make time for this. It is just too important anymore. You can't just sit back and once again think that this can't happen to you. It can happen to you. If any of the listeners want to comment, the number is 818-602-4929. Again, 818-602-4929. And like I said, if you want to send me an email on it, that's fine. Or any topic you would like me to discuss, that's fine. Listen up with JP at PottsandAssociates.com. All right? Okay, now, having covered that, let's move into this business about the serial killers. We've seen in the news this Texas guy was clearly a serial killer. And I've had people ask me, well, does a serial killer fit into the domestic terrorism, you know, classification? Well, the answer to that is, here's what I'll do. From time to time, remember, I will read the definition to you on what is domestic terrorism. Okay, so domestic terrorism, and this is the textbook definition from the USA Patriot Act. Acts of domestic terrorism are those which, A, involve acts dangerous to human life and that are a violation of the criminal laws of the United States or of any state. B, appear to be intended, and under that category, to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, or two, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, or three, to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping, and C, occur primarily within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States. So, out of all those classifications, what's the first one that we're going to look at? It's clear. It involves acts dangerous to human life through a violation of criminal laws of the United States. That's it. So in my opinion, it does fit into those kind of categories because these things do instill fear in people. And even though sometimes these serial killers, really some of their ideologies have absolutely nothing to do with anything that's either religious or governmental or any of those kind of things, they have a lot of other issues. So with those issues are the ones that I kind of want to address today. And therefore, the topic that I wanted to talk about. which is the psychology of serial killers, because I think this is very important. People don't understand how these individuals have developed over the years. So let's just cover that. I want you to understand a serial killer psychology. You know what? That lies far beyond the grasp of normal human understanding. You know, we're not doctors out there, psychologists. We're not any of those things as lay people. So sometimes it's very difficult to understand why people do things like this. We look at it and say the person is just insane. And that's easy for us to understand. But understand, a serial killer is defined as a person who murders three or more people in a particular fashion, and it's usually in a month's gap or more. The pattern of killing, or the modus operandi, is what gives the serial killers their name. There's always something in common in the murders. The use of a particular weapon, the race of the people killed, the age, you know, of gender, the profession, and at times even the symbols on the body of the victim is what they do. Now, the motive for killing nearly always consists of an element of hatred and fear, which may have its roots in the killer's childhood. You might remember, for some of you that are regular listeners, that I wrote a book called Right to Counsel. And that was about a serial killer also. And it's still available on Amazon. Yeah, okay, I just plugged myself a little bit on that. But it's still available on Amazon. And there's a good possibility we actually might be doing a reprint of that one as well. But it's still out there, to make a long story short. But he was a serial killer, Michael D. Madsen. Now, let me tell you something about serial killer. And it talks about childhood, by the way, all right, and the psychology of it, things that he, and why he did what he did. Now, let me tell you something about serial killers. For a lot of them, power has always been the center of a serial killer's thinking. These are people that are obsessed with being in the position of power sexually and in general life as well. You got to understand that. They thrive on the feeling of being in charge, and they will go to any extent to make sure they are. Now, this may branch from a background of child abuse, neglect, and low esteem. Children who grow up with a feeling of being unwanted and unloved tend to become very violent and assertive in their adult life. Now, I want to tell you, this low esteem and rejection usually finds a vent in brutality, murdering innocent people. Serial killers have a vivid imagination that tends to be on the violent side, and when they can, they obsess with living out their imagination. As the murdering spree continues, it becomes like a fix for them. It's like a drug addict. It's something that they require. And they get restless and violent if they're unable to kill. Now that's pretty clear. It's horrible, but that's where it comes from. We talk about child abuse. We've talked about child abuse on this air. We have no idea what's going to happen to some of these kids who have been sexually abused, mentally abused, and physically abused. But these are the ones who later on in life can create a problem for the rest of society. Parents have an obligation, in my opinion, to make sure that they're not engaging in this behavior, nor are they letting anybody abuse their kids in any way, shape, or form. Now, I will tell you, in most cases, the victims of serial killers are physically weaker than them. Serial killers usually target children and women. This goes back to what on the email that I got from Amy when she says as a woman that she's afraid. Well, listen, it's true. These serial killers will go after women. They'll go after children. Now, that's not to say that some serial killers haven't killed men and boys, because they have. So we've heard about those stories. But that's not the majority of the time from my research. From my research, look at the guy in Texas. He killed 90 women. And let me tell you something. This guy was a pretty big guy. They say that what he used to do, that he used to be a boxer. He used to be a boxer. His name was Samuel Little. He used to be a boxer. And what he would do is knock out the victim. Literally, just knock them out with a punch and then go from there. Now, serial killers who targeted old and middle-aged men, they've done that. But for the most part, they really do concentrate on young women. But notice what I said. When they target old and middle-aged men, they're looking at it like they are not as strong. You become a victim when you're weak. Now, I will tell you that there have been cases where... That's Siri speaking in the background, if you heard that. That happens sometimes when I'm speaking, even when I'm doing my speaking engagements. I don't know if you caught that. But anyway, look, there have been cases where a person lived with dead bodies and treated them as family, if you can actually believe that. That is absolutely disgusting and horrifying. Now, that showed a serious problem of low esteem caused due to rejection. This sense of rejection can be so profound that serial killers prefer to live with dead bodies to overcome their fear of being rejected. It has to be kept in mind that a serial killer has such a demented mind that he actually finds pleasure in doing all of this. According to his rationale, he's not doing anything wrong. He thinks he's doing it right. This unbalanced sense of knowing right from wrong is what makes serial killers so dangerous and unpredictable. And look, let me tell you, you hear me keep talking about, you know, he and him, you know, and men with this. But let me just tell you something. It's not just men. I'm probably not going to have time to get to it today, but I've also brought with me the 10 worst female serial killers. So I'm probably not going to get to it today fully, but I can tell you that will definitely be on the show next week. We'll be talking about female serial killers as a part two to the show. Now, look. In almost all cases, there lies a common background of abuse, mental, physical, or sexual. It's clear. And these are from the professionals. Now, look, in childhood, this may lead to misplaced morals, which makes them introverts. All right. Then they end up having this deep loathing for the society around them. They just hate the people around them. Then they grow up believing that the world is out to get them, and they need to cleanse the world of bad people by doing whatever is necessary. And I will tell you that many times serial killers, they claim it was divine intervention that forced them to kill, and they blame the murders on either God or the devil or voices in their head. Serial killers come from all walks of life, and don't you believe otherwise. Some people think, oh, these are the downtrodden, you know, the people come from here. No, they've got serial killers who have killed people, and they were from the more affluent society as well. It is not just the downtrodden. So let me make that clear. People have their own reason for killing. People have even killed their parents. Look at the Menendez brothers, for those of you to remember them from California, who killed their parents. So they weren't classified as serial killers, but that just goes to show you that it doesn't matter who. And some of these serial killers, some of these child shooters, some of them have actually shot and killed their parents before they went on their spree at the schools as well. Now, I will tell you that some of these killers, they're not killing for gain. They kill to satisfy the urge within or because they believe that they are doing the right thing. You know, those of us of normal senses, so to speak, still look at that and swear up and down that it's insane. The part that always bugs me, and everybody's entitled to the right to counsel. You know that. I wrote a book about it. The reality is that some of these people, you look at them and you think, you know, they're going to get off with this plea of insanity, trying to give some reason why they did it. Plaintiff attorneys are out there doing their job. I get it. And not plaintiff attorneys, excuse me, the criminal attorneys that are out there representing the criminals. They're there for, you know, to do their job too. And I get that. And this doesn't mean to come down on them. They're doing their job. All right. They're doing what they're supposed to do because everybody's entitled to the right to counsel. But on some of these things, it's just disheartening. And that's why, as I stated in my book, that the police officers, when they make these arrests, they got to leave the emotions out of it, or people like this can get off on some technicality, some violation of their rights. It has to be done the right way. And for those police officers that are listening to me out there, you know what I'm talking about. Because that book, The Right to Counsel, was all about the fact that we had people who, in fact, made arrests and possibly, well, not possibly, they messed up with how they got their confession. And as a result of that, you know, people get to walk, be retried, whatever the case may be. So it's got to be done the right way. Now, look. Let's look at this a little bit differently. Let's get a little bit heavy. Let's talk about the background. Because the question that always pops up is whether or not serial killers are psychopaths. Now, you remember when I talked about the two episodes I did last year on why kids kill. But those of you that, who did not listen to that, hey, go back to those. Go back to the archives, because all of my shows are archived, and you can pull up any of those. They're all there by the subject matter, and take a look at those. But, you know, you're looking at a serial killer and wonder if these people are psychopaths. Now, this guy in the Texas prison, 90 women, was he a psychopath? Look, let me just tell you something. Most of them are, according to the experts. Let's put it that way. It's not according to the Jim Potts rules, all right? According to the experts, you know, a lot of them are psychopaths. And basically, a psychopath is a person who doesn't believe in social norms and ethical principles and is generally antisocial. These people seem to have a strange set of morals and logic in their lives. And it has been ascertained that they are very shallow, they can be charming, impulsive, and have criminal ways of thinking. They're violent and abusive and show these traits from a very early age. The problem, in my opinion, parents don't always pick up on that for some strange reason. All right? You got to pick up on it. Some people want to believe that not my child. Hey, listen, I've done enough research in this to know that any child is capable if they're in the environments that we've been talking about. And maybe even sometimes even if not, you know, from that perspective. Now, I will tell you, serial killers are known to gain satisfaction through their behavior. That's the sad part. They actually get off on this. That part to me is not only sad but horrible. Now, I can tell you there's records of hundreds of serial killers out there that indicate child abuse was the main reason why they turned the way they did. And I'm going to tell you, most serial killers are known to have suffered both mental and sexual abuse in their childhood, with their own parents being the perpetrators. Again, that's the sad part. You can't speak to this. You wonder why parents who brought these kids into the world would treat their kids in a way like that. And I'm going to tell you something. Absence of family morals and at times a dysfunctional family, it leads to severely low self-esteem. All right. So these children, they grew up to be mentally sick, basically. Of all of the abuses that a serial killer suffers, it's from rejection. Rejection from their parents tops the charts, people. You're supposed to love your children. And sometimes, you know, even when you do that, some of these kids really don't appreciate it. They push back against it. They don't want their parents interfering with their lives. You know how it is when they get to be a certain age. You know, the parents, we don't know anything and they know it all. You know, sometimes they don't learn that lesson until later on, but that's okay. But that makes it tough as well. Now, we talked about what happens with these individuals during their childhood, but what happens during their adult life? Now, we know how it all started. Let's talk about the adult life. Because I'm going to tell you, the adult life of a serial killer is mostly filled with failures. Those are people who sometimes, you know, out there when you're talking, you say, he's a loser. Okay. He's a loser. Call it what you want. But their life is mostly filled with failure. A serial killer is always planning and plotting for his next victim, and as such has very little time for the necessities of life. They are so preoccupied with their killing that they fail to be a part of what surrounds them. And the most successful killers usually have an alter life, with one life portraying a semblance of normalcy, in which they pretend to be like everyone else. The other life is where they are obsessed with killing and planning a kill. Think about the guy in Texas. Think about some of these other guys like Ted Bundy, who I'm going to be talking about in a few moments, with all of these different male serial killers that I'm going to remind you of. You know, but their other life, like I said, is obsessed with killing. Now, due to this, they suffer from failures on a personal level, because they're not living a normal life. Research has shown that the history of all known serial killers is filled with failed marriages and love affairs. Failed marriages and love affairs. Any of that sound familiar out there? They even fail at pursuing a career. Their minds are just not made to work hard and make a career. They can't work under someone because they want power. they are known to generally misbehave at their workplace, leading to being fired. Their short temper follows them everywhere, leading to a general misbehavior and violence with coworkers. These people also get bored very easily. A monotonous 9-to-5 job can never, ever satisfy them. They need the thrill in their life, and they'll go to any extent to find that. Look, you know, we always talk about who these people are when we're doing our active shooter training. We give the common signs to look out for. You know, one of these is poor peer relationships, social isolation. I mean, these are individuals, and I'm not saying, look, I want to make it clear. I'm not saying every single individual that fits, that sounds like that, necessarily is going to turn into a serial killer. But as what we are saying is that there's certain things that we look out for. And with that in mind, I'm just saying just be on guard. I don't expect you to be calling and saying, hey, we've got a guy like that. Can we have him tested? Can we do that? That's not what I'm suggesting. All right. Now, there's a lot of theories out there about these serial killers and the psychology behind them. There's a lot of it out there. I mean, you can Google so much of this on the internet. But I can tell you that the work and research of a lot of psychologists over decades have given way to a few theories that suggest some common traits of serial killers. One of the most famous is the McDonald Triad. The McDonald Triad, by the way, defines a combination of three symptoms that are mostly found in all serial killers. These systems consist of three behavior characteristics that are straightaway associated with sociopathic behavior. Now, they were coined by J.M. McDonald, so hence the name, a forensic psychiatrist. This goes way back in 1963. So we're not talking about something new here. 1963, J.M. McDonald wrote a paper in the American Journal of Psychiatry, and he called the article The Threat to Kill. So you might want to look that up. But the characteristics described by him is very, very simple. Cruelty to animals. Go back to when I was talking on one of my previous shows about a few of those child shooters. What were they doing? Cruelty to animals. The other one is obsession with fire. The third one, bedwetting past the age of 5. Now, I don't know how you determine that one about the bedwetting, but I can tell you that some of these psychologists with their profiles of these individuals always ask the question about bedwetting. Because when I was doing my research for my new book that I'm writing on all of this, bedwetting was a big deal. Now, I have no idea about the association between bedwetting and being a serial killer, but apparently bedwetting past the age of 5 is a common denominator. Common denominator. Now, look, parents, I'm not telling you that every time your child wets the bed over the age of 5 that your child is going to turn into a serial killer, so don't panic over that one, okay? There's other reasons why kids still wet the bed after a certain age, and I'm sure some of that can be, you know, physically explained, talk to the doctors, etc. All right. Now, I will also tell you, according to the statistics, the child history of these three characteristics has been found in most of the serial killers that they researched. These symptoms result from parental neglect and abuse and lead to overly shy and reserved kids who grew up to become violent adults with their own strange concepts of life. Now, look, you know, again, I think this information is important. I don't want you to run around on a tangent with some of this. I don't want you to, you know, feel that your child is heading in the wrong direction with any of this. That's why we have the professionals out there. If you think that some things are going on, now here's the deal. You're probably all rational people. The people who don't think anything is wrong, and they neglect their children, and they treat their children either with physical abuse, sexual abuse, etc., they're never going to take their child in. And it's very simple. They don't want their child to report the behavior. That's why the school personnel, in my opinion, have to step in, and that's why teachers, as an example, a child are mandated reporters. That's why they have to do what they have to do if they feel that there's been some kind of neglect or abuse going on. I know some parents get very upset about that, but look, you may not be the one. Your child may not be the one. But that's the job school to turn around and to be able to do that. They have to do it because that's their job. So don't put yourself in a position where any of that's going to be applicable to you. Now, I will tell you that the motives of serial killers are varied. And I will tell you what it includes. It includes sexual favors, sexual sadism, pedophilia, financial gain. Some of them has to do with racism. But for some, I'll tell you flat out, it's fun, pleasure, and the thrill of doing it. And I'm going to tell you, the last three that I just gave you, fun, pleasure, and it's a thrill, those three motives are what truly define the mental condition of a serial killer. For a normal person, it is hard to even think of death and fun together. But for a serial killer, it's easy to accomplish. Easy to accomplish. Motive or no motive, killing a person for any reason other than self-defense is a criminal offense, and killing a number of people is a crime and is punished severely, often with the death penalty or a series of life imprisonment terms. That's the downside. That's the downside. Now, the sorry part about it is that some states don't have the death penalty. I don't want to get into the death penalty today. Some states don't have it. Some states do, obviously. Some states have it, and they don't enforce it. California hasn't really, I think, done anything in years regarding the death penalty, and yet we've got people on death row that are just sitting there, all because of this lethal injection controversy that has hammered the courts, to make a long story short. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to go through very briefly in the last few minutes that we have here. And again, I'll finish this part. If anybody has any comments about it, you can call me, 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. But look, we've seen in our history here, and I'm not talking about going back 100 years. I'm talking about going back 20, 30 years. People like Ted Bundy. Now, do you guys remember Ted Bundy? Well, let me just tell you something. He was a serial killer, a kidnapper, a rapist, a burglar, and he assaulted and murdered numerous young women and girls during the 1970s. They think maybe even possibly earlier. After more than a decade of denials, he confessed to 30 homicides that he committed in seven states between 1974 and 1978. And the true number of victims is going to be unknown. It is really possibly higher. But I can tell you that many of his young female victims regarded him as a handsome and charismatic individual with traits he exploited to win their trust. Now, the serial killer I told you about in my book, Right to Counsel, good-looking guy. He was able to coax women into his car, and these are young girls that were hitchhiking. The first one wasn't a hitchhiker, a little 9-year-old girl, but she wasn't hitchhiking. She was upset because, you know, her sister wouldn't take her home. She was waiting for her mother to pick her up from the park, and he saw something was going on, and he basically befriended her and offered to give her a ride home. So he took advantage of her young age and later killed her. Now, a lot of these, like with Bundy, he typically approached them in public places. He would feign an injury and pretend he was injured or had a disability or impersonating an authority figure before overpowering and assaulting them in secluded locations. He even sometimes revisited his secondary crime scenes, grooming and performing sexual acts with the decomposing corpse. What does that tell you? He was totally sick. Totally sick. At any rate, look, eventually he was executed in the electric chair at Florida State Prison, January 24th, 1989. Goodbye and good riddance to bad rubbish, as they say. But this guy, we don't even know how many people he killed. But once again, we do know they were women. Ladies, you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. don't be so desperate out there in certain respects. And don't be sending me any hate mail talking about I called all women desperate, because that's not what I'm saying. All right? But, you know, these guys are, you know, good-looking guys, and they were able to sway these individuals over, and then they kill him. Now, let me tell you, his actually first two murders were in the state of Washington and Oregon. He had this Volkswagen. He had a 1968 Volkswagen Beetle. And that's, believe it or not, that's where he committed most of his crimes. That's where they committed most of it. That's where he, in a Volkswagen, if you could believe that. But that's what he did. He committed crimes in Idaho, Utah, Colorado. I mean, this guy got around. He got around. Well, look, let me go on and give you some other names, because this guy, a lot of people know Ted Bundy. There's books out on Ted Bundy. And I don't want to get into all about him right now. I want to talk about some other individuals as well, because he was the most common name, but they did have some other names that you may not even know of. They had one named Robert Hansen, H-A-N-S-E-N. This guy was known as the Butcher Baker, and he was an active serial killer in Alaska, of all places. He was convicted of murdering 17 women in 1984. This guy owned a bakery, and his aim in murdering women was to rid Alaska of its female sex worker community. Most of the women he killed were exotic dancers. Hansen would often kidnap his victims, set them free in the Alaskan wilderness, and hunt and kill them. If you can believe that. So he kidnaps them, sets them free in the wilderness, and goes after them by hunting and killing them. He died in 2014. So he hasn't been gone. And just think, what I'm telling you about, he was convicted in 1984. And he died in prison. Next name? Yeah, you know this next name. Jeffrey Dahmer. He was a suspected serial killer that entered the courtroom of Judge Jeffrey Wagner in August of 1991. If you remember that, Dahmer was killed by a fellow prisoner on November 28, 1994 at Columbia Correctional Institution in Wisconsin. He set his focus on male victims during his crime spree. Now, remember what I told you earlier? Most of these, women. But Jeffrey Dahmer, uh-uh. And his crime spree was from 1978 to 1991. In that time, he murdered 17 men. Dahmer's tactics were especially cruel: rape, cannibalism. In his later years as an active killer, Dahmer attempted to make some of his victims zombies by drilling holes in their heads and injecting them with hydraulic acid and boiling water. Now, if you remember what I said in my email blast, I specifically said nobody under 18 needed to listen to this broadcast today. Now you know why. Let's look at another name, John Wayne Gacy. Gacy was known as an entertainer and a man loved by his community. He targeted teenage and younger boys as well, whom he molested and killed. In his time as an active killer, Gacy killed 33 people. The bodies of 29 men were found under his Chicago house, most in a crawl space. He was executed by lethal injection in 1994. Once again, goodbye to bad rubbish. I'm glad some of these guys actually got the death penalty. Now, I know some of you believe, you know, in the death penalty, some don't. I think on a show last year, we may have briefly talked about the death penalty. I would be kind of curious about how people feel about the death penalty. I think I put that out there last year in one of the earlier shows. But I would still be kind of curious about that with some of these serial killers, some of these active shooters that are killing people, whether or not you think as listeners they should face the death penalty or whether they should get life imprisonment. A lot of these people sometimes either commit suicide or are killed by police officers. So I don't know. I'd still be interested in your opinions. So maybe you could think about that between now and next week. The other one that you may remember is Dennis Rader, R-A-D-E-R. He's another one. He was called, you might remember this, he was called the BTK murderer. All right, he was the BTK killer. He was also named by his, by that name. He's the one that gave him that, because BTK, just as a reminder, was bind, torture, and kill his victims. He was active from 1974 to 1991 in Wichita, Kansas, and wasn't arrested until 2005. Think about that, between 1991 and 2005. Now, I don't know what he did, between 91 and 2005. Who knows? Maybe he didn't do anything. But he's best known for his letters that he used to write to police, which teased and mocked them for not figuring out who had been committing his crimes. But he signed these letters BTK. His last letter, sent long after the killing in 2004, led police to him. He probably should have stopped sending the letters. He probably never would have gotten caught. You know, so his ego probably got in the way. But you know what? At least he did get caught, and that's all that I care about. Now, look, next week I do want to talk about 10 of the most notorious female serial killers in the United States. Don't think these women are innocent. I'm telling you one thing right now. Some of these women literally kill more than 100 people. That is amazing to me. But they're out there. Okay. I hope that was enlightening for you, and I hope it doesn't keep you up at night. But ladies, you got to be careful out there. All right, you've been listening to Jim Potts on LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show. But let me remind you that you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/JimPottsAuthor. Be sure to join me next week. And by the way, if you like what you heard, spread the word. Until then, be aware, be vigilant, and safe. But more importantly, be a reluctant victim. Have a safe week. See you next week.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.